Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, October 16th, Pope Francis marks World Food Day by calling for a conversion in our way of living and acting. The Cardinal of Hong Kong says that violence is not the answer as protesters disrupt Parliament, and the political crisis in Haiti deepens after its president refuses to resign. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis sent a message to the FAO Director General Kuuk Dongyu for World Food Day on Wednesday, commenting on the theme of the day, Our Actions Are Our Future, Healthy Diets for a Zero Hunger World. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
In the message, Pope Francis calls attention to the distorted relationship between food and nutrition. He cites the fact that while 820 million people suffer from hunger in the world, almost 700 million are overweight. He calls it a cruel, unjust, and paradoxical reality that there is food for everyone, and yet not everyone has access to it. The Pope laments the fact that food is wasted, discarded, and consumed in excess, or destined for other purposes than nutrition. Poor nutrition gives rise to pathologies caused by excess, says the Pope, giving the examples of diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, and other forms of degenerative disease, but also of deficiency, as documented by an increasing number of deaths by anorexia and bulimia. This reality calls for a conversion in our way of living and acting, adds the Pope. Nutritional disorders can only be combated by the cultivation of lifestyles inspired by gratitude for the gifts we have received and the adoption of a spirit of temperance, moderation, abstinence, self-control, and solidarity. By adopting a more simple and sober lifestyle, continues the Pope, we grow in a fraternal solidarity that seeks the common good and avoids the individualism and egocentrism that serve only to generate hunger and social inequality. Pope Francis goes on to stress the primary role played by the family within the family, and thanks to the particular sensitivity and wisdom of women and mothers, we learn how to enjoy the fruits of the earth without abusing it, he writes. Pope Francis concludes his message for World Food Day by stating that the battle against hunger and malnutrition will not end as long as the logic of the market prevails and profit is sought at any cost. Our first concern should always be the human person, writes the Pope. We must come to realize that what we are accumulating and wasting is the bread of the poor. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
In Hong Kong, heckling protesters interrupted Carrie Lam's annual address in Parliament on Wednesday. She was forced to abandon her speech after repeated interruptions, which meant Ms. Lam was unable to formally withdraw the controversial extradition bill that sparked the protests. Cardinal Zhong Tong is calling on Hong Kong citizens to protest peacefully. He says violence is not the solution, as Devin Watkins reports.
The Apostolic Administrator of Hong Kong is urging increasingly violent demonstrators to regain their inner peace and to stop spreading violence. Cardinal John Tong Han sent his appeal over the weekend in an open letter to local citizens. The Cardinal says he is deeply pained by the worsening situation in the city. He acknowledges he is not a politician and so declines to offer a solution to the crisis, but he does express his hope that God will help the people of Hong Kong to overcome this period of repeated disorders. When our legitimate requests are not accepted, we may feel disappointed, Cardinal Tong says. But he adds, you must not lose hope, for despair blurs our gaze towards the future, draining our lives. Hong Kong's cardinal says anger leads to hate, which consumes our ability to distinguish between good and evil, destroying goodness and causing violence. I firmly believe that violence is not the solution to the current problem, but only causes deeper and deeper wounds, he says. Hong Kong has thrived, he adds, because of its people's ability to respect each other's differences. Cardinal Tong says harmony can be rebuilt only by responding to the demands of citizens. The government and citizens must work to rebuild mutual trust, he notes. I feel deep sorrow when I see young people anxious and worried because of the current social situation, says Cardinal Tong, because they not only represent our future, but also our present. Finally, Cardinal Tong calls on Hong Kong's government to listen to the cry of its citizens and to apply the law conscientiously. I'm Devin Watkins.
In Nigeria, police have freed 67 people found shackled at an Islamic boarding school. They were all male pupils, aged between 7 and 40. Police released a statement which read that the boys and men were chained and subjected to inhuman and degraded treatments. Some had been sexually abused. Two teachers as well as the owner of the school have been arrested. Last month, more than 300 male students were freed from a similar boarding school in Kaduna State. President Buhari has previously condemned reports of abuse at similar institutions. Haiti's embattled president says he won't resign as the Western Hemisphere's poorest nation spirals deeper into a crisis after 5 weeks of nationwide protests. James Blears reports.
Haiti's president Jovenel Moïse is standing firm by insisting he will not resign. Still ensconced at the National Palace in the capital Port-au-Prince, he stresses that he'll only step aside and relinquish power by democratic process, which means free and fair elections. Business leaders, communities and human rights groups are calling for his resignation as inflation spirals, poverty bites ever deeper, while law and order is becoming more and more fragile and tenuous. The president is urging the opposition to come to the negotiations table and sit down for talks to resolve the ever-deepening crisis in Haiti, but they've already refused, demanding his immediate resignation. UN peacekeeping in Haiti, which started in 2004, has just ended, and with it, stability, which will be hard, if not impossible, to replace. For Vatican News, James Blears reporting.
A 58-year-old man will appear before a judge in the Netherlands on Thursday on charges of unlawful deprivation of freedom and harming others' health, Dutch prosecutors said on Wednesday. The man, who has not been publicly identified by law enforcement officials, was arrested after six members of a family were found locked away in a secret room in a farmhouse after apparently living in isolation for 9 years. In Brazil, a seven-story residential building collapsed in the northeastern Brazilian city of Fortaleza on Tuesday, killing at least one person. Another 10 people were missing and 7 people were found alive, rescue workers said. The building fell at around 10:30 a.m. local time, but it was not immediately clear what caused the accident or how many total victims may be involved. At the Synod for the Amazon on Wednesday, participants continued their discussions in small groups as the assembly reached its halfway point. Following the morning session, the Daily Synod press briefing focused on the unique spiritual dimension of the gathering and its significance for the whole world, with speakers addressing topics such as our common responsibility in caring for the earth, the need for an integral human ecology, vocations, and the role of the laity. Christopher Wells tells us more.
At the press briefing on Wednesday, Paolo Ruffini, the prefect of the Dicastery for Communication, summarized some of the main topics at the center of discernment for the Synod, including the Amazon region as a paradigm for the earth as our common home, a calling to ecological conversion, enculturation, access to the sacraments and education, ministries, as well as social issues like migration, rural and urban life, and international and multilateral engagement for human rights. He said participants at the Synod felt strongly the need to focus on an overall unified vision guided by the Holy Spirit rather than getting caught up too much in details. Father Giacomo Costa emphasized once again that the synodal path is very different from worldly gatherings. It's an experience marked not by discussions or debates like a secular parliament, but rather has a spiritual dynamic marked especially by fraternity. The first guest speaker, Ms. Yesca Patiachi Teori, an indigenous woman from Peru, spoke about the role of native peoples as guardians of the forest, while noting that care for our common home is the responsibility of everyone. She said that her people are facing a real threat of extinction and already have the experience of being discriminated against. Bishop Ambrogio Spreafico from Italy spoke about the Synod as an ecclesial event, with repercussions not only for the Pan-Amazon region, but for the whole world. He mentioned the importance of an integral human ecology, especially in light of Pope Francis' teaching in Laudato Si, which he said has not been well understood. The fraternal environment at the Synod was also mentioned as a highlight by Bishop Wellington Tadeu de Queiroz Vieira from Brazil. He also spoke about the crisis of vocations, not only in Amazonia, but around the world, and said that the question of vocations should not focus primarily on celibacy, but on holiness. Finally, Bishop Pedro José Conti, also of Brazil, spoke about the role of the laity. He said they were not merely helpers of the clergy and religious, but had their own unique lay vocation, which he called an antidote to clericalism. Bishop Conti noted the importance of finding a balance in producing goods from the land and emphasized the necessity of drawing from the ancient wisdom of the native people. I'm Christopher Wells.
Attending the Synod is Gabriel Malzer, Bishop of Roseau, on the island of Dominica in the West Indies. He says that while the Amazon is of great concern, climate change is a universal concern, and its effects are also being seen in the Caribbean.
We are very concerned about the issue of ecology, of climate change. And we, of course, have seen the effects of it in the Caribbean, especially in the Northern Caribbean with the prevalence of hurricanes. Just 2 years ago, 2017, Dominica, my island, was devastated by Hurricane Maria. So despite the fact that we may not be affecting too much the whole system, but we are affected by the effects of climate change. So the ecological question is a real big one. And of course, the dioceses that belong to the South American mainland will certainly have more to say in terms of the ecological question as it pertains to the Amazon. Of course, the devastation and the injustices that are going on by the multinational corporations and so forth, and its effect on the indigenous people. So, altogether, while it is a concern of the Amazon, but it is really a universal concern. And we, in the Caribbean, we are affected by the effects of climate change.
That was Bishop Gabriel Malzer of Roseau in the West Indies. And finally, Pope Francis held his weekly general audience this morning, during which he delivered a catechesis on the Acts of the Apostles. He urged Christians to allow themselves to be amazed by God's surprises and by the creativity with which he makes himself known as the Lord of all. Robin Gomes has the details.
The starting point of Pope Francis' catechesis was the experience of St. Peter in the Acts of the Apostles, where he has a vision of a large tablecloth with four-legged animals, reptiles, and birds descending from above, and a voice asking him to eat their meat. As a good Jew, Peter refrains from eating anything impure, but the voice repeats, "What God has made clean, you are not to call profane." God then sends Peter to preach Christ and his forgiveness to the household of Cornelius, a non-Jew who is God-fearing and given to works of charity and prayer. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Cornelius and his family are baptized by Peter in the name of Christ. But Peter's fellow Christians rebuke him for going against the custom and the law. However, the Pope said, Peter experiences freedom from himself in greater communion with God and with others because he sees God's will in the action of the Holy Spirit.
Con questo fatto il Signore vuole che Pietro non valuti più gli eventi.
The Pope explained that through this episode, God wants Peter not to evaluate and categorize events and people as pure and impure, but to learn to go beyond, to look at the person and the intentions of the heart.
Impariamo che un evangelizzatore non può essere un impedimento.
Pope Francis said that from Peter we learn that an evangelizer cannot be an impediment to the creative work of God, who wills everyone to be saved, but one who fosters the encounter of hearts with the Lord. I'm Robin Gomes.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.